once I take the step towards my fear, I no longer have time to be scared. I only have time to do the action because at this point, I'm worried about survival.
Hi, friend. Welcome back. Today, we're talking to Stephen Jarvis Morris, former Army Ranger turned leadership coach with 26 years of experience. Now, we've already chatted with him in episode 5, so feel free to check that out. But in this episode, Stephen shares with us the definition of success, and we actually have a conversation about what success looks like for each of us and what success could look like for you. We also talk about finding happiness in unlikely places and coming back from really deep, dark, and difficult moments. And Stephen also shares the skill that gets you past the fear that stops you from your own future successes. Tune in because it's a great episode. Let's get started.
All right. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us again. It's always a blast every time we talk to you. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. And I just want to say a little bit of a shameless plug. Our friend Kylie Robinson, her podcast aired today. What is it? Hard Questions.
Yep. Ask Hard Questions.
Yeah. And so it's her and her brother Caleb. And I listened to your podcast. It was great. And I actually learned a lot about you I didn't know.
Yeah. Kylie and Caleb, man, they are amazing. So glad you popped that in right in the beginning, because if you're listening, you've got to go check them out. Ask Hard Questions. I've already left them a review. You should go leave them a review too to get them off to a good start.
Yeah. It was awesome. And their very first, like their intro podcast, it's like 51 minutes long or something. It was hilarious. I was laughing my butt off.
Awesome.
I think they're so funny. Yeah, it was hilarious.
And they really do ask good, hard questions too.
Yeah, they beat me up. Caleb, I don't know. Kylie was a little bit quieter when I talked to him. Mm-hmm. But Caleb, he hit me pretty hard. Like, he made me squirm a little bit. I was like, oh, I don't really want to talk about that. But I answered their questions. But
have they told you what episode that is?
July 7th. I think it's like their fourth episode, third or fourth.
Stay in touch, ask hard questions so you know when you get to hear Stephen's, which is, he really has an extraordinary story. So listen in for sure. You don't want to miss that. Oh, man. Okay. So what are we picking up on? We've talked about so many things, right? About building your brand and career. Okay. We've talked about all kinds of stuff.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So we're talking about hard questions. So I have a question. Mm-hmm. What is Patricia Ortega's definition of success?
Gosh, it's changed so much. Listen, if you're here with us having a chat and you're curious, not about my life, nothing specific about my life, but you're curious about that change from a career to entrepreneurship. I don't know about everybody else, but for some people like me, it is one of the hardest things that you'll ever do. And, you know, when you talk about success, I used to think success was, oh, retirement. Everyone looks at retirement. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, oh, when I retire, oh, the palm trees, oh, the island, oh, the beaches, right? Like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to travel the world. And what I realized is if you don't do something now, you're not going to do it when you retire. You're just not. And so you've got to start figuring out, like, success is not like a place you're going to get to when you're quote unquote successful. Like, success is really, do you enjoy what you're doing right here, right now, between the mm-hmm. time you wake up and the time you go to bed? Like, if you enjoy that, then you're in good shape. And that's what it's become for me. It's like, I'm nowhere near where I quote unquote want to be or think that I'm going to be in the future, right? Like, you know, Stephen, we're just kind of like planting the seed right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm done working at the end of the day, I really do feel like I changed someone's life today. I made an impact today. You know, whether mm-hmm. it's through a post that, you know, something that I'll never know what happened, or whether it's through an actual one-on-one conversation, I'm like, I did something meaningful today. I worked to the best of my ability and I enjoyed my work. And to me right now, in this moment, that's success right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny you said, like, we were talking before we started recording and I was telling you about, you know, Grant or Glenn Gardone, the president of Red Chocolate, like he sent me a box full of free chocolate.
Well, that's success right there.
Right. And you know, I've had a couple of people send me their books wanting me to read and review their books.
Okay. That's awesome.
Like, right. Like my podcast still hasn't made me a dime, but I'm getting free stuff.
Chocolate and books.
The reason I ask is I've been thinking a lot about it lately, and I don't know if you've ever heard the term, what do they call it? The great lie. Like Bill Clinton with the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal back in the 90s, he lied to Congress and the entire country. They called that the great lie. And there have been several other great lies throughout history that people talk about. And I think success is the modern, our generation's great lie.
Ooh, talk about that.
So like, well, I mean, you already hit the nail on the head, basically. Like, we're taught, you know, you go to school, you get good grades, you go to college, you get good grades, you get a good job, you stay at that job for 40, 50 years, you're in a retirement, and then you go live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what
you go live your life.
Yeah. And like, we're taught that that's what success is, or we're taught that the Kardashians are success. And I'm not hating on the Kardashians. Like, they are some brilliant business people. Like, they have monetized every aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. So good on them. Like, you go. I have no love for their products. Like,
yeah. Opinions.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm not supporting their products or what they do, but I mean, literally. And so, I mean, we're told that that's success. Or we're told that, you know, Elon Musk is success. And again, I'm not hating on Musk. You know, dude is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that is success. Like, how many rich people do you hear of committing suicide?
It's really sad. The numbers are and these are right? The people that are famous and rich.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's insane. And so, I mean, obviously money isn't success, because if money was success, then that wouldn't be happening, right? So, I mean, how many people die before they retire?
Wow. That, I'm sure that's a large number.
Yeah. So all these people that are waiting for their success so that they can live their life, they die before they even get it.
And the whole time they're working towards this thing they never even get to.
Yeah. And it's just ridiculous. It's a lie. And so when I started thinking about that, like you, I started looking at my day and it's like, you know what? I had just some random person send me a book because they respect my opinion. That's a success.
That is amazing.
I am successful. You know, I have successfully potty trained my dog. Well, okay, Katie might hear this. My wife and I have successfully potty trained our new puppy in a week.
That is major success, by the way.
Right?
Yeah. Probably a year plus of stress that we spent trying to potty train our dog. So congratulations.
Thank you. So, I mean, and it's just when you sit down and you look at it and you're like, you know, this is what I've been sold.
Yeah.
But am I happy? Yeah. And so it's like, I just don't get why people, and I think it's because we're told that if we don't do these things, these horrible things are going to happen to us. And I literally, I was in a meeting with an associate and we were actually talking about you. And I was like, did she tell you about what she did to land where she's at right now? Like quitting a six-figure income job without anything, without a safety net, nothing. She just quit.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Right?
But we're told that if we do that, we're dangerous, we're scary, we are going to fail. And like, and what made me realize this is like, you know, but a year ago, pretty much this month, you and I were strangers to Adam. Like, we had no idea who each other were.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been one of my biggest fans, one of my biggest supporters since you've met me.
Yes, go Steven, Renowned Leadership.
But my family, with the exception of my parents and my wife, Mm-hmm. My family have been one of my biggest deterrents. Mm. And so I got to looking at that and I'm like, why is it like that? It's because they don't want me to get hurt, right? They don't want me to fail. They don't want me. And it's like, but why do they think I'm going to fail? I've literally never failed at anything in my entire life. Mm. Like, and that's not true, but I mean, the major things, I always succeed.
Yeah.
Eventually. Like it may, you know, some broken bones, maybe getting shot a little bit. Like, you know, I get there. I get there eventually. But I mean, it's because they don't want me to get hurt and they don't want to see me fail. And it's like, that made me realize like this whole thing of success is just a giant lie. It's not real.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I don't have, I have some family and they've always been really supportive, but I don't have a lot of family. But one thing that I've noticed is it's for me, it's not my family. For me, it's my mind. I constantly have these thoughts, right? And when you ask like, oh, why would they be deterring? It's the same reason that my mind deters me. It's this, it's a protection mechanism of like, oh no, something bad, like you said, something bad is going to happen. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. So the same way that my mind's trying to protect me, your family's trying to protect you, but it's all this, it's all built upon what we've been told is success. And what we've, like you said, what we've been told is failure. There's actually, I posted it today, but there was this, you know, have you heard of a 6-word memoir?
No.
So I used to, teach, and in teaching we had this activity that was called the 6-word memoir, that at the end of your life, what are the 6 words, 6 or less, that are going to sum up your entire life? And up until I realized success is not something I have to work really, 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 really hard for my entire life, up until that point, my 6-word memoir that I was writing without knowing it, I was writing a 6-word memoir, and mine was 4 words actually, that said hard worker, wasted opportunity. That was my memoir. Hard worker, wasted opportunity. And I feel like that's what we are. We are scared of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Even though I was talking to this woman who said just a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you know, it takes the same amount of effort to grow something huge as it does to grow something small. She's like, it's the same amount of effort. You just make bigger decisions and bigger choices and take, right, bigger risks, but the amount of work involved is the same. And she's like, but most people are too scared to take the big risk, the big action, and instead they do the small work, so they end up working hard but wasting the opportunity. And I'm like, well, that's what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Hard, wasting the opportunity. But I think it all comes from that place that you're talking about, that fear, that protective space, that you shouldn't fail, failure's not good, you know.
There's the other side of that, which is societal, that, you know, we're so addicted to Facebook and Instagram and we scroll so freaking fast and we have video games and it's suddenly okay to live in your parents' house until you're 35. And, you know, it's like all the, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, 100%.
So we're sold that. I don't know if it's like we could be kids longer. And don't get me wrong, I ain't hating on video games because I can play some video games.
Yeah.
But sure. I also spend 100+ hours in my office every week.
Yeah. And you know why though, right? Myron Golden, he is this man who went.
A huge fan. I know who he is.
Okay. Y'all, if you have not pulled up Myron Golden, now is the time. Okay. He is a man of faith. So if you're someone of faith, you're going to love him even more. He's a man of faith. He looks at business principles from a perspective, like a biblical perspective. And I mean, he went from being a trash man to a multi-millionaire, maybe even billionaire. But he said this, I listened to him all the time. And he said that people who become wealthy educate themselves. Like, right. He's like, I can tell you who you are and where you're going to go based on how you use your free time. Do you entertain yourself or do you educate yourself? And I was like, wow, it's so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast today, actually. I can't remember the guy's name. But again, he's like Myron Golden, multi-millionaire. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about that exact same thing. He's like, you know, when I realized I needed to flip the switch and become someone different, he was like, what I did was I looked at who I am and my habits and the habits of the person I wanted to become.
Mm-hmm.
And he said pretty much the same thing. Like, my habits entertained me. The person I wanted to become, his habits made him go to work, made him healthy, made him smarter, made him do all these things. And he's like, you know what? I promise you, like, cause it's scary, right? Like, cause I remember, you know, getting ready to leave high school and it's like, man, all of these things I do as a kid that I love, I'm not going to be able to do anymore. Cause one, I'm going to be a soldier, and two, like, I'm going to be an adult now. And it was scary, and I didn't want to leave that comfort and that entertainment. Yeah. But what I realized afterwards is what he said is, you know, once you start, you know, getting in shape, you know, if you're overweight, like, I'm not bagging on you. And I hope you're happy with who you are. But at the same time, it's not healthy, right? It's scientific. It's not healthy for you. Mm-hmm. When you start, like, I know being, trust me, I've been there. Because if you've heard my story, I left the Army 225 pounds or 220 pounds. 10 months later, I weighed 300. That is crazy unhealthy. Like, that's like, yeah, over the charts unhealthy how fast I gained weight.
And there's like a mindset behind that. It's hardly ever purely physical.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's like, you know, it was scary to go back to the gym. Mm. Because I was scared of the judgment. I was scared of, you know, when I left the Army, I could just run. Mm. I was like, I know I can't do that anymore. I haven't done it in 10 months. One, two, I'm like 80 pounds heavier than I was. There's no way I can run like I used to. And it was scary, Patricia. It was so scary to step foot back in that gym. But, you know, once I got the courage, I did it. And the more I did it, the easier it got. And the easier it got, the better.
Like, what was that moment for you when you're like, it's scary. And one day you did it. Like, what triggered you?
I was going to die. Like, so, well, because, like, I didn't know this about myself, but apparently I'm an emotional eater. Like, I eat my feelings. But I never noticed it before because I was always so physically active. I just burned off whatever I ate. It wasn't even a problem. I could literally eat two large pizzas in one sitting. But, yay, you know, I'm going for a 10-mile run tomorrow. It'll all be gone. I'm good. That's obviously an exaggeration, but I just never noticed that that's how I lived and operated. And then when I got out of the Army and I didn't have any discipline anymore, I didn't have any structure anymore, I just started eating and I was depressed. I was sad. I missed the Army. I hated being a civilian. So I just kept eating and eating and eating. And before I knew it, I was like 300 pounds. I'm like, holy crap, what happened to me? And then I got really depressed, mm-hmm, like dangerously depressed, like suicidal depressed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, and I was just looking at myself in the mirror one day and I'm like, I'm disgusted with myself because I was this fit, you know, soldier. And now I'm just this and I can't even run. I can't even see my toes. I can't even touch my toes. Like, what happened to me? How did I let this happen? And I, the more I thought about it, just the worse and worse it got. Yeah. And finally I realized, I just like, you know what? I have to fix this because if I don't, I'm either going to kill myself, or I'm going to eat myself to death.
So it's almost like there's two pieces, right? There's that physical side, but then there's also that mental side of, mm-hmm, I'm not self-disciplined. Why am I not like doing what I would want to do? Why is my life turning out to be different than what I had in mind when I was 18, 19, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, it just happened. So this is a total, what's the word, oxymoron. It happened fast, but subtly at the same time. I didn't realize it was happening. But at the same time, it seemed like boom, and then it's done, over with, and you know, I'm what I was. And so, the moral of the story, though, is, you know, once I got it, once I started getting progress, once I started taking action, I started being happy with that action. Suddenly, the loss of time to play video games, that it was okay. Suddenly, the pain that I was in was okay. You know, dieting was okay. Like, not getting to eat whatever I wanted was okay. And it reminded me that I am disciplined, that I am, you know, capable, fit, strong, healthy, everything I want to be. I am those things. I just lost my way for a second. So, I mean, and again, so now today I'm back down to 220 pounds. I can not run like I used to because I'm old now, but I can still run a pretty good distance. And, you know, that's a success. I'm happy. You know, my life's not perfect. My business isn't near where I want it to be. But like you said, every single day I come in this office and I work my butt off. Mm-hmm. And every night when I
have to
do what?
Because you want to, not because you have to.
But yeah, because I want my business to win. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny. One of the, I guess this is kind of diverging or shifting topics a little bit. One of the most frustrating things in the world to me is this thing I've been seeing a lot lately of, you know, wealthy people don't set goals. Successful people don't set goals. They do this. And it's like, you are stupid.
It's just,
and I don't mean to call someone stupid, but I really do, because that's the dumbest thing. So basically what you're telling me is the Kansas City Chiefs did not have the goal to win the Super Bowl last year. Mm. Of course they did. And so did all 31 of the other teams. They had the same goal, win the Super Bowl. What separates the Kansas City Chiefs from all the other 31 teams is the Kansas City Chiefs took that goal, used it to define their systems, and propel those systems and use those systems to better themselves so that they can be the top team. That's the difference. And that's how that's my, once I remembered and that was the whole problem. I just lost my way. I forgot who I was. Once I remembered, I started reorienting myself towards my goals, what I wanted. And every single day that I take a step towards my goal, whatever my goal is, then that day is a success and I am successful. I do not define myself by the world's definition of success. I define myself by my definition of success. If I'm happy, which I'm very happy, you know me, I'm very happy. I have an amazing life. I have an amazing wife, a beautiful puppy. You know, I live in a great place. And, you know, is it perfect? No. But what is?
Nothing. I mean, you know, I was just talking to someone yesterday and we were saying something similar to what you're saying. It's not perfect, but what is, right? She's like, in our set of time, we call that a beautiful mess. There's struggle in it, there's stress in it, but like you learn to enjoy it in the struggle. But going back a little bit, you had mentioned a couple different things that were so good, but I didn't want to interrupt. There was a point in which you had a choice to make, right? We're all constantly at a fork in the road. And you came to a point where you had a choice to make. And there was technically two fears there, right? One fear is you had mentioned death. You were like, I'm going to die if I go keep going this route. But then the other fear is, I don't want to go to the gym. Like, I can't, what if I can't do this? This is new to me. And it's like that point in the road when you decide which fear you're going to take, because no matter what, life is going to have those fears, those worries, those anxieties, and you have to choose one. And so it sounds like there came a point where one fear was bigger than the other. And you use that, something that technically is not a good thing, right? Like, fear of death is not a good thing. Nobody wants to fear, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
But you took that and you leveraged it into this opportunity of, I'm going to make my life better. I'm going to find my way back by choosing which fear and how I leverage it. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was huge. And I don't think that we I feel like we more so get consumed in our fears as opposed to leveraging our fears to get out of something.
Well, you know, I talk about that a lot. And again, if you've listened to Patricia's podcast, you've heard this story, but I'm deathly scared of heights. And my life mantra is action breeds clarity. And that comes from accidentally on purposely getting pushed out of an airplane with a parachute strapped on my back. And realizing that once I take the step towards my fear, I no longer have time to be scared. I only have time to do the action. Because at this point, I'm worried about survival. I'm worried about doing it right. I'm worried about everything else other than being scared, because you just don't have time for that. And I've learned now that it's actually a way our brain is designed to work. Our brain is supposed to work that way because it's trying to work in the most efficient way possible, which is get rid of all the nonsense that isn't helping me right now. Mm-hmm. And which fear isn't helping me, because I'm already falling out of the airplane, plummeting towards the ground at 190 miles per hour from 5,000 feet up. Like, yep. That's bad.
I feel like everybody needs to have that skill, like what you learned and what you're sharing from that airplane.
It's easy, man. You just take a step. Like, seriously, when your alarm goes off, right? So I get up at 4. Actually, starting tomorrow, I decided today, tomorrow I'm getting up at 3:30 from now on.
Because already completely crush all of our morning routines at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So,
I've decided, yes. I'm just not going to go to sleep tonight.
So, yeah. So now starting tomorrow morning, I'm getting up at 3:30. Just because I want a little more me time, and with the new puppy and everything, I have to take her out when I get up, and it's cutting in on my me time. And plus I get a lot of work done that early. And anyway, so I'm like, you know what, I just need to get up 30 minutes early, and that's doable. So tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off at 3:30 in the morning, I'm going to open my eyes, because I'm not used to getting up that early. And I'm going to be like, dear God, no. Why are you doing this to me? And it's going to be the worst thing ever. And right in that moment, I have one choice to make. Am I disciplined? And am I going to get up to set myself up for success this day? Or am I going to be a lazy piece of crap and go back to sleep?
I could tell you which one I'd pick.
But think about it, Patricia, like that's the step.
It is, right? True though. I mean, it doesn't have to be 3:30, because we're not all rock stars, right? But like, what is if you're listening, what is your next step? Your next step can be from, instead of waking up at 6 a.m, it's 5:30. Or maybe your next step has nothing to do with sleeping. Maybe your next step has something to do with your nutrition or your workout or your stress level or saying no to that person at work who keeps giving you jobs that have nothing to do with what you're supposed to be doing. Whatever that next step is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just whatever you're scared of, whatever is blocking you from what you view as success. And ultimately, I think the first thing you need to do is really look at your life and look at your morals and your values and your principles and figure out what success means to you. Because I believe success is different for every single person. For some people, money is success.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking it. If money is success to you, go get money. Mm-hmm. Good luck. I will say, if you chase money, you'll never catch it, but
and there was a time where I was like, what's my number one thing? I need to make money.
Yeah. Well, and that's because that's what we're taught.
And that's like a season, right? And there's like a time and a place for everything. And you might go through a season where that's one of the most important things. That's called survival. And then you might hop into a different season, right? Like when something else becomes more important.
Yeah. But I mean, money's what we're taught. Like that's what we're taught. We got to go make a lot of money. We're taught that if you want the pretty girl, from the man's side, if you want the pretty girl, you got to have money, because she wants to be taken care of. when I married my wife, I'm like, you know, I'm poor, right?
Like, well, we all have that checklist. Every woman has that checklist. And it's the same thing with my husband. Like, he did not have, yeah, that's a story for a different day, but he did not have any of those qualifications. And to be honest, I tell him all the time, on your worst day, you are a better husband than most husbands on their best day.
Let me go get Katie and you two can debate that, because I think I'm pretty awesome.
I know, me and Katie will be debating it. So we've got a few minutes here. And you've already covered what success is, which I think is like the core really of today's conversation. We've covered, you know, making that choice, and we revisited that moment on that airplane that we all need to have, is that moment on the airplane where we figure out which fear we're going to want, we're going to take, and which one's going to leverage our opportunity. So imagine that you've got a stadium of about 1 million people. For the next few minutes, they're listening to you.
Wow. That's a lot of responsibility.
From everything you've learned, from the military, from your corporate experience, from your leadership training, from your current business, from the people that you've coached, from the amazing experiences that you have had, listen to prior podcasts, because he's had some amazing experiences, even from God moments. Like, what would you share with so many people waiting to hear from you?
I would bring one Patricia Ortega up on stage.
Oh, God.
And I would say, hear me out. I would say, this young woman right here is the prime example of, you are not a victim. I think society has got us okay with being victims, and the victim mentality, it's everyone else's fault. We're so scared to take responsibility because we're going to let people down, or who knows what's going through your mind. I'm no different. I feel that every single day when I have to tell someone, like, hey, I screwed up. And I, trust me, I screw up a lot. I get it, but it's no one else's fault but my own. Any money troubles I've ever had are solely because I was bad at managing my money. Anytime, you know, I got shot 3 times in the torso, that was because I wasn't being careful. Now, yeah, the guy that shot me had some responsibility in the matter, but I don't blame him. You know, I don't blame my parents for getting divorced. I don't blame my biological parents for putting me up for adoption. I don't blame anybody for anything that's happened in my life except for me. I am not a victim.
We're in a world where it's easy.
Right.
To be like, oh, I'm like this because ...
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the person who is entertained, because you want your own ego to be stroked. You want your own failures to be justified, when it's like, your failure is an opportunity to learn something. Your failure is an opportunity to get stronger, you know, with every single rep. So to use a cop-out, like excuses and blaming someone else for why you are where you are.
It's all about, well, great example. When I left the military, my depression, my weight gain, everything, my loss of discipline, everything that I went through was all because I was playing a victim. I was mad at the Army for kicking me out, or not kicking me out, but forcing me to retire. I was mad at civilians for sucking. Like, why don't civilians have a drive? Why can't civilians be like me? What's wrong with you people? I'm amazing. You guys suck. And I wish I was joking, but that's literally how I thought. And
it's honest.
Once I realized, like, you know, all of this mentality is straight just victim status, like victimhood. And it's like, I am not a victim. I am a bad dude. I am strong, I am tough, and I am capable. And I am no one's victim. And once I realized that, and that just completely flipped my mindset to, and that, then, you know, another, you know, outside of action breeds clarity, I would say my second most important mantra is personal accountability at all times. And, you know, I am quick to accept responsibility for my, you know, you can ask my wife. Like, I will, like, be the biggest jerk And within 2 seconds, I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I suck. I don't even if it's her fault, like I was like, that was my bad. I'm sorry. Because I want to make sure at all times I accept responsibility for my actions, because that is your shield from becoming a victim, is how did I cause this to mm-hmm. happen, and how do I prevent this from happening again? Or how do I excel even though this happened? You know, it's just getting your mindset out of this. Oh, they did it to me because of the color of my skin or because of whatever. Like, that's fine. I understand those things happen to you. I'm not denying that they happen. But at the same time, you're letting that define who you are. And you can't do that. Because if somebody doesn't give you a job because of the color of their skin or because of the color of your skin, first of all, that person's a schmuck and you don't want to work for him anyway.
That's for sure.
Second of all, if you let that define who you are, mm-hmm. then they win.
They win. Isn't that crazy?
No one has that power over me except my wife and God.
Absolutely. Now that's what I was asking for. That's a powerful message. You are not a victim. No matter what happened, no matter what's going on, no matter whose fault it may appear to be, you can always turn that around and say, how is this going to make me stronger? How is this going to make me better? How am I going to move forward? That was awesome.
Thank you.
So excited to have gotten to have a conversation with you. I know that this one was a little bit less structured. We kind of just went off the cuff, but it was an awesome conversation. I'm glad we got to... we got to talk today, and thank you again, Stephen, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a blessing. And of course, you know, I love talking to you and your audience. So
awesome. Well, thank you everyone for joining us as well. See you on the next one.